good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. This afternoon, the Election Commission announced Saturday, the 19th of November, as polling day for the 15th general election. Nominations will be announced on the 5th, which allows for 2 weeks of official election campaigning. Now, there are 29 days till D-Day. Has the EC done enough to ensure that every Malaysian can cast their vote? My guest tonight is Thomas Fun. He's the chairperson of Bersih 2.0. Thomas, dates finally been revealed, but what has not been revealed has been the Election Commission's contingency flood plan. What they're going to be doing if there are floods during the elections. What are your particular concerns about on this front, Thomas? What challenges do you foresee if the EC doesn't come up with a comprehensive contingency plan soon?
Thank you, Melissa, for having me. I think from the very start, ourselves and many other people have expressed concern. And it's got nothing to do with whether the opposition parties are ready or not, or what. But this is our monsoon season. You know, in this country, we all know the year end, there is high risk. And especially, I think, given the climate situation around the world with La Nina, the unpredictability of this season and the extremity of it is very, very high. So we have been calling the EC, we issued a statement yesterday for the EC and NADMA, the National Disaster Management Agency, to publish their standard operating procedure or SOP on voting amidst floods. That is Undi Banjir. Now, the EC has a responsibility, I think, number one, to ensure that all voters who want to vote are able to come out and vote safely. That is their number one responsibility. And I think during a flood season, especially the one that is coming up, the NADMA probably already worked out some sort of plan to bring relief and to manage the disaster that may be coming. So we hope that the EC is already talking to them. And if not, they should talk to them and also publish and let us know, the voters, what are some of the contingency plan. Now, what could happen? Of course, different places could have different degree of problem. I must say that I do hope that the 19th of November will be a perfect day, you know, a bright sunny day, so that as many people as who wants to come and vote can come out and vote. But we have to be ready that if there are flooding in certain area, what are some of the red lines that need to be crossed, where the EC then will put into place certain contingency plan. For example, extending the voting hours if things are just heavy rain, or even considering postponing or extending another day of polling if that area is mildly flooded. But our main concern is if there is widespread flooding in a large area, for example, a whole state like Kelantan that is known for major flooding. But, you know, flooding is not confined to the East Coast nowadays. You know, we just had Langkawi heavily flooded the other day, and last year was Selangor. But let's say Kelantan for this election was overwhelmed with heavy flood, and there is no way people could come out and vote. But the rest of the country are fine. So the danger of that is that you're going to have a situation where the early results or unofficial result of the rest of the country are known. But it depends on the postponed voting of Kelantan. And if the race is close and it depends on, say, 5 seats for a coalition to win government, then it may affect the voting pattern of the people of Kelantan when they eventually vote. So in that case, I would say that probably the whole election, if that is happening, should be suspended to a later date.
I was just wondering also about, you know, concerns over the transportation of ballots to counting centers, whether that might have an impact on the legitimacy or the validity of the results of counting. All of those things in the event of floods need to be communicated by the EC.
Exactly. I think a lot of people, perhaps they do not understand the electoral process. The ballot boxes, the yellow boxes that are ferried to the tally center, has already been counted. And those, what is important, the process is that the counting process was witnessed by polling or counting agents from all candidates, and they witnessed that it was what the tally was and recorded in the Boran 14, Form 14, and each of the counting agents are given a copy by the Ketua Tempat Mengundi, the KTM, and they all have a similar number and copy. That is the important thing. The ballots are transported as a process to the tally center so that if there is a very close count and a recount is needed, then they can be opened up to recount. But yes, the transportation of the yellow ballot boxes will be a process that the EC need to think carefully about, especially in states like Sarawak, where they have to cross rivers. So they probably have to get helicopters on standby. Whether they need it or not, they have to be on standby, and that will be additional cost to the EC.
Okay. Oh, I have a couple of minutes left with you, Thomas, and I do want to ask about Dr. Mahathir's suggestion to the Election Commission that mobile phones should be banned inside polling centres. His argument is that voters can take a photo of their ballot of proof of which party they voted for, and this can be used in exchange for a kickback from that party. I'm just wondering, does this suggestion make sense to Bursa?
It does make sense, because I think vote buying has unfortunately always been part of our election culture, where money are given in exchange for votes. And one of the methods to confirm that a person has voted for a particular party is that they use their mobile phone to take a snap behind the polling voting station. And then when they come out, show that they are marked, and they're given whatever 100 ringgit or a few hundred ringgit for that. So I think a simple process will be that as we get ready to enter the Saluran, the stream, we leave our phone with the policeman in a box. You know, we leave it there and we enter, have our IC check, given our ballots, we mark it, and then as we walk out, we take back our phone. And it will be, I think, a simple process to introduce. Mm.
Okay, Thomas, thank you so much for being on the show with me tonight. Thomas Wan from Bursa 2.0. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation about the ways in which civil society is stepping up to plug the gaps in GE15, gaps that were created by or left unaddressed by the Election Commission. Jo Lee is a social media activist and part of the hashtag Undi Banjir initiative. Jo, thanks for joining me today. Undi Banjir, this initiative, it combines all the grassroots movements of Kita Jaga Kita, of Undi Rabu, of Pulang Mengundi, of Kapul GE, all the ways in which Malaysians had stepped up and united to help each other in the last elections, also during tough times of the floods and the lockdown. Can you tell us tonight just a little bit about how this collective plans to now mobilise for GE15?
All right. Undi Banjir is an umbrella movement, essentially, and the name itself describes what we do, or what we are going to do, which is to cater to two separate areas, which is the Undi part and the Banjir part. So we will deal with both the poles and the floods. For the polls part, we have Pulau Mengundi coming in. We will be not overlapping with Undi Rabu. We'll be doing more social media and education. But then we have Undi Rabu, which comes in to handle the financing and the disbursement of aid and handling donations. And then we have Kita Jaya Kita, which will come in at a later stage for the Banjir part, where they'll handle flood relief and rescue services, etc. We also have Carpool GE, which Carpool GE 15 will handle transportation issues. We have carpooling and whatnot. And we also have our new family members, which are Global Bursi and also Undi 18, to come in for the last mile for the international postal votes. So the idea of doing this was that everyone has an expertise in their own area. They've done it before. This time around, because it's done over the flood period and we need more hands on deck and we need to maximize our resources, we've decided to pull our resources together, work under one umbrella, and more importantly, reach out to all the grassroots and smaller initiatives and NGOs on ground so that we can help empower every Malaysian to help our movement to help other Malaysians.
Right. So, you know, because you have a little bit of experience from the last time of the general elections, but also kind of relief efforts from the December floods and also helping out the Kita Jaga Kita during lockdown, Joe, what were some of the lessons that can be taken from the last time that might be useful for mobilization this time around?
I think this time around is definitely we know how to handle things faster in terms of expediting the donations and such. Because back then, Undi Rabu were manually standing in front of ATM machines, depositing money in the middle of the night for 4 hours. You know, they were doing crazy things like that. So this time around, we're a little bit more prepared. And also because when it comes to the floods, last year, a lot of us worked on helping flood victims. And we found out that we couldn't reach a lot of remote outlying areas. So this year, like we said, we're going to empower more Malaysians. So we actually are going to work with NGOs and initiatives on ground in targeted flood-prone states. For example, Sabah, we've already nominated one of our members, which is Anas from Bantu. He will work on ground with all the flood initiatives, flood rescue, flood aid, NGOs and local grassroots movements, so that we can actually reach more areas and have logistics on ground. Because the last time we did that, we didn't think about, you know, communicating people who are actually in the locality itself. So those were things that we needed to iron out, also because there were overlaps. So this time around, we have a central database where everyone can cross-check recipients to make sure that our donors' money is used for good and not going to be abused by in any way. So there are a few measures that we've put in place that we've learned from lessons in the last time.
Well, it sounds, I mean, you're portraying it as a well-oiled machine, but I'm sure there must be challenges because, again, this is a collective of volunteers. This is not your day job. This is something that you're doing for the love of the country, for service of the country. Where are your kind of biggest challenges? Is it in the coordinating? Is it in the manpower? Is it in fundraising? Where can other Malaysians watching tonight help?
I think our biggest problem is none of the above, because we have a lot of people who are experienced and who are doing this out of the goodness of their heart, so to speak, because they really believe in this movement and they're passionate about helping other Malaysians go vote. I think the only problem we face right now is donation fatigue to some extent. So we are begging every Malaysian out there to help us, because, for example, we've seen the flight rates, right? The airfares. Mm. And it's ridiculous. It's almost like 500 ringgit. It's almost 1,000 ringgit for someone to fly round trip, Sabah, Sarawak, and all that. And, that's going to be hard to bring a lot of people home. So we really, 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 really are begging everyone, if you can chip in, help us, please do, because this is for the greater good of our country. It's exercising a democratic right to vote. And all you have to do tomorrow at 12 p.m., this is the first time I'm mentioning it, at 12 p.m., undibanjir.com will go live. So all the initiatives are listed there. Any way you can help, it's listed there. If you are seeking help, every way is listed there as well. So that's, we hope every Malaysian will just jump on and try and help us in every way. We need every hand on deck.
I hope that too. Joe, you know, I'm glad that you know, you and your team are rallying to help Malaysians cast their ballot. But really, it's the responsibility of the Election Commission. It is the Election Commission's responsibility to facilitate the smooth process of voting. What would you like to see the Election Commission do between now and the 19th of November to help do their job and do their jobs well?
I think the key thing is they have to really, really look into the possibility of not just extending hours, but extending another day for voting. Because last year when we got rained in, I live in Klang, right? And we're one of the worst flood hit areas. It rains for at least 24 hours. You know, what are you going to do? You can't go out to vote. And if it's flooded and the rain is not stopping for 24 hours, there is no way we can physically go out to vote. So the EC should consider maybe extending another day for the polls. I don't know if it's possible, but going by any other hope, I don't think, you know, the EC can do anything else. That is the only thing that EC can help to make things better for us.
Joe, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Social media activist Joe Lee, who is part of the hashtag Undi Banjir initiative. We're going to take another very quick break here and Consider This. We'll be back with Global Bursi. Stay tuned. I'm Melissa Idris. Thank you so much for staying with me on Consider This. My next guest is Nirmala Devi Wingater. She is the Secretary General of Global Bursi, which is an international movement of overseas Malaysians. Nirmala, thank you for joining me on the show. So the key dates announced by EC today, what was your initial reaction to the dates being announced?
First of all, disappointment. I think we've met here 2 years ago and we spoke about the disappointment we had before. And now we are back at the same place again. 14 days in order to vote from overseas. It's not a workable overseas postal system. We need at least 21 to 25 days in order to get our ballots to vote and send it back. So first of all, we are disappointed. We are not shocked, I have to admit, but disappointment was the first. But we are not going to let that be our major emotion at the moment. We are hopeful. We are hopeful that the overseas Malaysians will come out and vote and register.
Right. Nirmala, could you help me understand? So you say 14 days is too short, but 21 days would be the be requested. What would an extra 7 days, what difference would an extra week make for postal votes?
An extra week would mean a price difference between 120 to 130 euros of sending a ballot back. And it would mean a flight ticket of 1,200 euros from Europe that you can save. So basically, it works like this. Global Bursi did a voting exercise about 2 months ago to check the post-COVID postal voting system, how it works. And from this exercise, we have managed to find out that it takes about 15 to 18 days for a letter to arrive from Europe to Malaysia. And we're talking from big city to big city, not to Borneo or to smaller areas. And also that we have also saw that from US, it takes about 18 to 21 days. So basically, if we have that, we can get a ballot back with about 2 euros or with $1, but with this short campaign period, that means the only way we can get the ballot back is to use an express courier with courier service, which will take us about 120 euros or 80 euros. And if we actually fly back, and the flight tickets are very different from GE14, we are talking about a difference of like, it was 580 euros during GE14, and now we are talking about 1,200 euros per flight back. So that's the difference that this 21 to 25 days will make.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for sharing that with us. I also want to talk a little bit about how there are just mere days left for Malaysians living overseas to register as postal voters. Applications closed this Sunday. What were some of the difficulties that you have heard of people trying to register, of why this window, this time frame is far too short to ensure a smooth process?
Okay, let me just remind you, during GE14, we had 2.5 months to register as overseas postal voters. That's a long period. And for now, we have to do it within the next 3 days, which means that we have overseas voters who couldn't decide if they wanted to go back and vote or they wanted to receive their ballots in overseas and vote as overseas postal voter. And that decision could only be made today when we got the dates. And now we have only 3 days to make this decision and register. And let me go back to Undi Johor, where this short registration period has already proved that it was a problem for the EC to register and to facilitate the registration. So it's already started. We've already have emails at the moment, and we have feedbacks from overseas Malaysians telling that, oh, you know, their application hasn't been approved. It's been 3 days. So it's starting again. It looks like deja vu again.
Right. There was also a petition, Global Bursa, petitioning the EC, and I think this is an ongoing petition, to implement some changes to the postal voting system, one of which is allowing non-Malaysians to act as witnesses to postal ballot papers. Can you elaborate this requirement? So you have to have another Malaysian witness you mark your ballot paper, is that correct?
Basically, it works like this. For overseas postal voting, because we don't vote at a polling station, we need to go through a verification process. So that's done through a Borang Dua or Form 2. So on this Form 2, we have to get a signature of another Malaysian who's over 18 that verifies that you are the person. They will check your identification card and verify that you're the person who is filling up this ballot. Of course, they don't see what you fill up in the ballot. So basically, this sounds like a very simple process, but during GE14, lots of Malaysians in overseas who don't live in bigger cities had problems with that. And in order to overcome this problem, Global Bursa has come up with this Jom Cari Saksi campaign or initiative. And what we are trying to do is we're trying to connect people on our, we have a FB group that we have created also. It's and through this FB group, it's called the Malaysian GE15 Overseas Postal Voting FAQ. And through this group, we are trying to connect all these witnesses from different areas to be able to overcome this problem. And there are also some other things that we are demanding EC to do immediately now. First of all, that EC has to send out our ballots immediately after the nomination day with the fastest method possible. And second, they have to publish the list of the returning officer addresses, because last year there were lots of mistakes on the addresses that was printed and sent out to us. So overseas Malaysians have a chance to check if we have the right address. Another option is when EC sends out our ballots, they have to upload the tracking number so overseas Malaysians can see where the ballots are the whole time. So these are the things that has to happen. And that's why we are trying to have this petition, because we were going for longer campaign period. Of course, that didn't happen, but now we are continuing the petition because we want these other changes to happen in order to make it easier for overseas Malaysians to vote.
Yeah, so I hope that the process, particularly the last mile, goes well. Thank you so much for your service. Nirmala Devi Wingeta, thank you so much for your time. That was Nirmala Devi Wingeta from Global Bursa wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.